Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we're going to dig in. And listen, today I believe that there's a message that God has for you that's life-changing. In our world today, everywhere we look, people are afraid. Fear is a massive issue. And I'm telling you, if you're a believer, you do not have to buy into fear. And we're going to talk about how you break through fear. We're talking in our series is called Action. And so as we were looking at the first part of Matthew 5 through 7, we see Jesus talking a lot about the kingdom of God. In chapter 8, it switches, and all of a sudden you start to see people taking action. You start to see Jesus taking action. And here's the thing about being a Christian. It's not just being here feeling good on Sunday and then going back to real life and not changing you and not affecting how you live your life. If you're a believer, it should change your life Monday through Saturday. It should change how you look at things. It should change what you allow into your life. And I'm telling you, in a world that celebrates fear, in a world that's trying to give you a pill to get over fear, in a world that people are struggling with anxiety, worry, stress, there's a better way to live. And I want to tell you about it today. Because Jesus came to set us free from fear. Anxiety, worry, stress, all of that is a symptom of fear. And as believers, Jesus came to set us free from fear. Jesus modeled this truth. To be a follower, we can't just sit around and talk about the kingdom. We must take action. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. We're not just talking about it, we're living it. We're putting it into practice in our lives. And this area of fear is one of those areas that we've got to put into practice. How do we overcome fear? Some of you are not even sleeping at night because you have so much fear in your life. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus came to bring us peace, not fear. It changes your world. You do not have to buy into fear. In our world today, lots of people talk about following Jesus, but there's not much action. Last week, Pastor Sheree spoke to us about action and the importance of immediately following Jesus when he calls you. But there's not much action. Immediately, when Jesus calls us, we have to get away from all excuses and step out and obediently do what he calls us to do. Somebody's texting me. I got to turn my phone over because it's like I'm ADHD and I'm sitting there looking at the text and it kind of threw me off a little bit, all right? So I got to turn my phone to turn your text off, all right? All right. What, yes, the fear of missing, keep moving, is that what you're saying? Move along, all right. Like squirrel, all right, anyways. What's one thing that keeps us from doing what Jesus asked us to do is fear. It keeps us sidelined. And today I want to talk to you, how do you break out of that so you're not sidelined by fear? Every one of us in this room, God has something for you to do. There's a purpose of why you're here. And it's probably a lot different than what you think. But to take hold of that purpose, you've got to break the fear that comes along. Fear. We allow fear to sideline us. Fear is the root of all stress, anxiety, and worry. Jesus came to set us free from fear. You don't, whatever today you're worried about, as you're sitting here and you're thinking and it brings up fear in your heart, that's a sign you need to give it to him. Whether it's your business, whether it's your job, whether it's your house, I don't care what it is. Today, whatever is bringing you fear and stress and anxiety is the day you need to give it to him. Jesus modeled this because he was 100% man and 100% God. So he knows what it felt to feel stress. He knows what it feels to live in this world. And not one time did he give in to fear. Not one time would he say that he gave in to fear. And here's the problem with fear. Fear affects every area of your life. It becomes the lens of what will cloud your vision and keep you stuck right where you're at. It clouds every decision you make. And in our world today, fear is almost an epidemic. It's celebrated. All of these different anxieties, all of these different fears, all of these different stresses and worries. And I want to tell you, the time that we're walking into in the Bible, when we look at the signs of the times, this is a moment where we cannot partner with fear. We don't have to be afraid of the future. You can put your trust in God, and you don't have to live in fear. Jesus wants to set you free. Every person that is struggling with worry and anxiety and stress today, you are here for a purpose, and God's message is there's freedom for you. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. The problem is we allow fear to go unchecked and out of control in our lives. And here's the problem. Fear is not productive. The enemy uses fear to paralyze us. He also uses fear. In fact, if you're worried about tomorrow, he uses fear to steal you from your present. If you're always worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, it takes you from the present. There's also people that are always worried about what happened in their past. If you're worried about what's happened in your past, it steals your peace for today. We've got to live in the present. We can't be worried about tomorrow or worried about our past. In fact, Matthew 6:34, and we've read this, we've studied it, but it comes into play here. It says this, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Just put your focus on today. Some of you are losing sleep at night because you're so worried about tomorrow. That worry that you're wasting right now, that fear, is taking you from peace, and it's taking a lot of energy out of you. And today I want to tell you, Jesus came to set us free from fear and worry and stress and anxiety. The thing about fear is a person spends so much time worrying about something that may not ever even happen. In fact, I love what Joyce Meyer says fear is. Fear is false evidence appearing real. How does that play out? Well, man, this is what could happen. Man, I'm worried about what could happen down the road. I'm worried about what's... It steals your joy for today. It's false evidence appearing real. What you assume is going to happen would never happen because God's already in your tomorrow working it out. That's the thing. When you're all worried about tomorrow, what you do is you take the element of God out of the picture. God wants to help you to know he's already in your tomorrows. He's already solving it. But he says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The decision to partner with fear or faith is something that every person must deal with. And as I was praying for today's service, and I said it in our prayer time, some of you have partnered with fear for so long that you don't even realize that's what's in operation in your life. You partnered with fear. It's become a stronghold. And Jesus came to take down those strongholds. Jesus came to show you a different way. So, no, living with worry and anxiety. Well, I just live with so much anxiety because that's in my family. Break it off today. I just can't stop my mind from worrying. Yes, you can. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him. Only you can control what you're going to think about. Only you can put a stop to what your mind is thinking about. There are multiple opportunities every day for fear to creep in. See, the problem is fear is a natural response, okay? But what you do with fear is the issue. So am I saying, oh, no, you can't be afraid? No. Fear is going to pop up, but are you going to buy into it or are you going to send it back to where it belongs? It's a natural response to our bodies and our minds, and what the thing that we do with fear is the issue. Following Jesus is going to require you to choose faith over fear. When your life turns upside down and you get that call and things go upside down, do you partner with fear or do you partner with faith? Write that down, because listen, here's the thing. You can't partner with both. You can't have fear and faith in the same. It's like oil and water. If you're a follower of Christ, start choosing faith over fear. Your choice. Start choosing faith over fear. Worrying about something isn't going to change it. How many of you know we don't have control over anything in our lives? God's the one that's in control. God's the one that's got this. You trust him or you don't. Following Jesus is going to require you to choose faith, because he's going to call you to do some things that's totally outside your comfort zone. He's going to call you and put you in places that makes you so uncomfortable. I don't think Jesus cares much about our comfort zone. Well, in America, like, this is my comfort zone. No, he pushes us out of our comfort zone, and we have to face it without fear. Your comfort zone becomes your prison. Just like you allow fear to go unchecked in your life, it becomes your prison cell. God will call you into situations that seem impossible. And in those moments, he's very good at dealing with impossible situations. You might feel like you're facing an impossible situation right now. if you are, just know we serve a God who does very well in impossible situations. God can deal with whatever impossible situation you're facing. And choosing faith over fear will release him to work in your life. Put your trust in him. The impossible will become possible. Well, you don't know what I'm looking at, Pastor Jason. Everything seems like it's falling apart. Everything, and it's causing so much fear and anxiety. What kind of lens are you looking at things? If it feels like it's falling apart, if it feels like it's impossible, those are all lies from the enemy, because you serve a God that nothing falls apart. You serve a God that does the impossible. You serve a God who's good at doing the impossible. Well, you don't understand. Pastor Jason, the doctor said there's nothing else they can do. Good. That's when God steps in and does impossible situations. But the minute you partner with fear is the minute you shut down his operation in your life. It sidelines you. How do you know if you're partnering with fear? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Oh, I'm so afraid of this. And what happens with this? And I'm so afraid of that. What is coming out of your mouth? The power of life and death is in the tongue. If you feel like the enemy's attacking you, he doesn't know what you're thinking until you speak it out. And some of you are giving him ammo by what's coming out of your mouth. Well, God, I feel like I'm going down. I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth, because that will tell you what you're partnered with. I can't say this any plainer than what I'm trying to say. When you partner with fear, you're partnering with sin. Because what you're saying is, God, I don't trust you. So I'm going to sit and worry about it. I'm going to sit and try to control things. I want to tell you something. God is really good at doing his job, so stop trying to take it back from him. God, I want to control this. You can't control the outcome. I don't care how big of a man you think you are. You can't push through it enough to see what God can do it, unless you push through. Well, I'm going to take care of things on my own. I'm going to control. I control my own destiny. No, you don't. God controls your destiny. That's why you can put your trust in him. The disciples struggled with this on multiple occasions. And they showed us a model of how we can get sidelined, how fear can take our perspective away. They were with Jesus in a boat. And it's one of my favorite stories as we come to Matthew 8, 23 through 27, about what happens when the storms of life come up. It's a powerful story. Let's read it together, okay? Here it is. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. It's important whenever you're reading scripture to always look at context. So what happened before and what was happening at the end? What happened before? Jesus had been out healing people. He was exhausted. He was tired. The disciples were tired. How many of you know that when you're tired, you don't make good decisions? Right? So that's why, Pastor Sheree, we got to take our Sabbath, right? Because if you're tired, you're never going to make good decisions. And I find that when I'm tired, fear can creep in a lot quicker than when I've taken some rest. So Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with the disciples. And you got to understand, this is the Sea of Galilee. And when you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's very shallow. It's under sea level and literally had mountains all around it. And so what would happen is the storms, the wind would go down these mountains and pick up, and all of a sudden you'd have 20 to 30 foot waves. There was a storm. And I find it really interesting to me too, because the disciples had been fishermen. So they had been through storms like this before. And they still panicked. They still panicked. Don't ever underestimate the power of a storm in your life. Some of you, storms come up, and every time you fall to the same thing. So today is a new way of dealing with the storm when they come up. The disciples learned a new way too. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Have you ever had a storm in life suddenly come up? Like all of a sudden, you get the call and your life turns upside down. What are you going to do? Rise up in faith or fall apart in fear? You have a split second decision. You get the call. Life turns upside down. You might be like today, oh, life is great for me. I don't have to worry about it. But here's the truth. You're either in the middle of something, you're coming out of something, or you're about ready to walk into something. That seems to be the cycle of life. So what are you going to do? Is that going to determine where you put your faith? Those storms when they come up? Is a storm going to knock you off? It sure did the disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Jesus sleeps through storms. He's not sitting on that boat going, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming up. Oh my word, I didn't know that storm was coming up. Oh man, the Weather Channel didn't say that storm was coming up. I'm now all worried and panicked. No, he was sleeping through the storm. You said, well, he was Jesus. He was also 100% man. And not one time did he show that he was afraid. He slept through the storm. The disciples, on the other hand, they went and they woke him shouting, which means they were panicking. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Don't act like you haven't yelled at God sometimes. That's exactly what the disciples just did. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. See, as suddenly as a storm comes up, when Jesus gets on the scene, it can suddenly be done. Right? There's two suddenly. Suddenly the storm came up, Jesus woke, and suddenly the storm went away. The disciples were amazed. They said, who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. Now, if you look, and Pastor Paul is going to talk on this next Sunday. If you look, they had a specific assignment on the other side of that lake. It'll be one of the most incredible deliverance stories of a young man in the Gadarenes who was demonically possessed. And literally, he would go and change that whole region when Jesus showed up on the other side. See, here's the thing. Expect storms when you're doing what God has called you to do. Because the enemy tries to stop you. And if you give in and you give up, you're going to miss out on the destiny that God has for you. And I believe that's what the enemy was trying to do when he tried to raise up this huge storm. He wanted him to go back so that that boy on the other side wouldn't be set free. What is God calling you to do, but you're too afraid to do it? What is God asking you to do, but you're in fear? Like, oh, I can never do that. How could God ask me to do that? What is God asking you to do, but because of fear, you're not doing it? Well, what if I fail? If you're doing it with God, you're not going to fail because you're a partner. After this portion of scripture, this assignment that God had would be accomplished because they kept pressing through. I'm going to look at three questions and a statement from this portion of scripture that we need to be asking ourselves. Number one, and write this down. Take a note because I want you to live with it this week. How do you handle the storms in your life? Do you fall apart in fear or rise up in faith? Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. The storms of our lives come up as quickly as what we read about in this story. What do you do when the storms of life come up? This was a major storm. And listen, there are going to be major storms where you feel like, God, am I going to make it? And I want to tell you, if you're in the middle of one right now, you're going to make it. Jesus is in your boat. Don't forget it. He's in your boat. Don't forget it. The disciples forgot. They had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in their boat, and they forgot about it. Don't forget, you're going to make it. Jesus is in your boat. He has not forgotten you. You might think he's asleep, but Jesus sleeps through storms. He's not going to be afraid of it. He's sleeping through your storm. You might go, Jesus, where are you? And there's going to be a moment when he wakes up and suddenly that storm's over. I want to speak to you right now. That storm you're in is not going to take you down. You're going to rise above it and you're going to see God do something incredible. You are going to be set free from this prison of fear that you've been in. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Fear is not productive. The difference is so stark how Jesus handled the storm and how the disciples handled the storm. Jesus slept, the disciples panicked. Here's what's amazing about it, friends. Jesus is just like, he was human. So he had every opportunity to panic just like the disciples did, and he never partnered with it. Where we get into trouble is when we choose to partner with fear. And sometimes we partner with it so much that it becomes a stronghold. You don't even know how to break free from it. Here's how you break free. You give it to Jesus. Whenever it comes up, you give it to Jesus. Dealing with the storm is no big deal to him. But the problem with it is that if you don't give it to Jesus, it'll overtake you. because you can't handle the storm on your own. You can't be smart enough to deal with what you're dealing with without his help. Don't panic. Listen, how many sleepless nights have you spent wasting your time worried about what's happening? Go to bed and sleep like a baby because God has it under control. Stop losing sleep over things that you can't control. God, you're not going down. Here's the second question. And Jesus asked the disciples this, why are you afraid? When Jesus spoke, he asked the disciples, he responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Jesus is asking us the same question today. Why are you afraid? If you're partnering with fear, why? Why are you afraid? Like I said, fear is a natural emotion. What we do with fear is the problem. When fear pops up into our lives, do we partner with it? Do we buy into it? Or do we send it right back to the pit of hell where it came from? You don't have to partner with fear. The world makes it look like that's the only thing you can do. And I'm telling you right now, as believers, as people who love Jesus, you can send fear right back to the pit of hell and you can partner with God's promises over your life. Are you with me? The disciples panicked and they let fear dictate how they responded in the storm. That's why Jesus looked right at them and said, you have such little faith. My question to you today is, why are you afraid? The same question that Jesus asked the disciples, why are you afraid? And they could have 10 reasons why. Well, did you see that big storm? Like we're going to capsize. Like all of the human excuses and the things that we put in front of God because we bought into it with fear. Jesus wiped away all of that and said, you don't have to partner with fear. Don't be afraid. Today is the day that if you want to, you can give your fear to God. And you can pass it off to him. And you can say, God, I'm not going to partner with fear anymore. When you experience fear, turn it over to Jesus. Ask him to help you overcome that fear. And I'm telling you, if it's 100 times in one day, every time you start thinking about fear, every time you start feeling that fear, say, God, I'm turning it back to you. I'm casting my cares on you. Every single time. We literally cannot afford to let one of those thoughts slip through our minds. That's how you break through the spirit of fear. That's how you get a hold of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I need your help. Today's your day. It doesn't matter what's happening. Have you ever met somebody? Their whole life is falling apart, but they're totally at peace. It might look like they're in the biggest storm of their lives, and they're totally at peace. Because peace doesn't come from what's happening around us. It only comes directly from him. And when you say, fear, I'm not going to partner with you, but Jesus, I'm partnering with your peace. I'm partnering with your joy. That's what I'm going to partner with. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can't overcome fear without God's help. So stop trying to deal with it on your own. My third question is, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Every one of us have a choice on who we're going to trust. That's what's so terrible about fear, is when you partner with fear and that's what you take into your life, what you're saying is, God, I don't trust that you're big enough to deal with it. God, you definitely need my help to fix things. Okay? There's some control freaks in the room that's what you've said. Oh, I got this. I don't need to give it to God. You might not have said that all the way, but the way you try to control things says it enough. God, I can do a much better job than you could ever do, so I'm going to be worried about it. And God says, man, just give it to me. You don't have to control things anymore. The thing is, we have no control on 99% of what happens to us in life. But I'll tell you who does. His name is Jesus, and he takes care of storms. And if you'll put your trust in him and really break that spirit of fear that's been trying to get in your life, and we see, you know, Jesus had complete faith and trust in God, the kind that we're talking about. And you're like, well, yeah, of course he was Jesus. But Jesus modeled what it looked like to be human in the middle of a storm, and he slept through it because he trusted God 100%. Where's your trust? Who do you really trust? Because if you trust God to deal with it, fear is going to be gone. When you choose to partner with fear and allow fear to control you, you're essentially saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't think you're big enough to deal with this. And I want to tell you this. If you don't know God, you'll never know what he can do in your situation. And I'm talking about spending time with him. I'm talking about getting in his word. I'm talking about finding the promises of what he said that he'll do in moments that you're walking through difficulties. Get to know who God is. That's why it's so important to dust off your Bible cover and get into it and find out what God's word says about the situation you're facing. A lot of people don't admit this because they like to be in control. They don't admit that God can take it because they want to be in control. What happens when things spin out of control in your life? Anybody been there before where you're like, man, it's spinning out of control and I'm really fearful and anxiety? God knows. He's got it. So trust him, even when things seem to be spinning out of control. Here's where the battle begins, friends. It begins in our thought life. What are you thinking about? The battle begins right here. You can never just sit and go, oh, I'm just going to let whatever thoughts come in. This is what you control, what you're going to think about. You're like, Pastor Jason, how can I control it? How do I know? I want to tell you, this is how you know. Every thought that's good, every thought that you know lines up with Scripture, that's what you want to be thinking about. Every thought of fear, anxiety, worry, lies that the enemy tries to bring, you know it when it comes up. You know when your thought life doesn't line up with what God's already promised you. That's what you need to throw out and say, God, I'm not going to think about that. Help me to think of differently. What are you thinking about? The battle begins with your thought life. The enemy will do everything he can to convince you that God's not good, that God's not real, that God doesn't care about where you're at. Those are all lies of the enemy, because if you buy into that, then you believe that God's not going to show up when you need him. Especially when you're walking through times where God's timing is taking a little longer than what you expected. What's the first thing the enemy tries to do? Oh, God must not care. God must not be hearing your prayer. I want to assure you, here, take this to the bank. God always answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, which we love. No, which nobody likes. Or wait, which nobody really likes that either. Okay? But I promise you, if you trust him enough, his no's are your protection. When he says no, trust him to know that it's him protecting you. When he says wait, he's working behind the scenes, so let him just work, because you want what he's going to do, okay? I always tell people this, and if you've been around, you know that we serve a crockpot God in a microwave world, right? How many of you know microwave popcorn is so nasty? Man, when you get that popcorn that's fresh out of the popper, that takes a little bit more time, right? This is the hungry service, too, so I'm probably making you hungry. But waiting on God is so important. God can handle it. Don't let the enemy convince you that God's not good. Don't let the enemy convince you with questions of why. Okay? Because here's the thing. The enemy wants you to ask why, and God may not tell you why. You may not want to know the why. The question is what? God, what do I do with this? What do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do with the painful things of life? What do you want me? There are going to be painful things in life. There's going to be things that we can't understand. That's why God calls peace, peace that passes all understanding. I also want to encourage you, when you think back about your past, be very careful on how you remember things. Because the enemy will twist. The enemy will cause you to think differently. Like, really carefully look back on times where you walked through a difficult time and ask God to show you the truth. Because here's the thing. This is how we break through the thoughts in our mind and the lies of the enemy and what he's trying to bring, by asking one simple question. God, what's the truth? And then you listen. God, what's the truth? What's the truth? And I'd encourage you, if you've not done this, take a journal and go back through difficult times in your life and write down all the good things that God did. Because when you remember that he's been there all along and he's been there helping you, and that doesn't mean you always get your way and things always turn out the way that you want them to turn out. But I promise you this, when you look at the scope of your life, he takes bad things and works them all together for good to see his hand at work. Think back. Jesus had a track record with the disciples, but they simply forgot that Jesus was still in their boat. Don't allow one thought of fear, worry, anxiety, stress to get you sidelined today. And this is my fourth, and this is a statement, and we're done. The disciples said, even the wind and the waves obey him. Do you know what the disciples were saying at that point? They were admitting to the fact that God can handle any storm. We live in a world where they're still trying to figure out how to get the wind and the waves to do what they want them to do. And they can't. Only Jesus stopped the wind and the waves, which tells me that when you face impossible situations and you face the wind and the waves, Jesus can calm them. Because he has a track record of doing that. Even the wind and the waves obey him. The impossible situations. They made a declaration that Jesus was in control of even the wind and the waves. No one controls the wind and the waves, even today. I believe that the disciples were saying that even the wind and the waves have to obey Jesus. And what it tells me is Jesus has every storm in your life already under control. So why worry about it? Why stress about it? Why spend your time and your life all just worried up and stressed up and full of anxiety? Don't medicate it. Don't self-medicate it. Break through your stress and fear, worry and anxiety, and let Jesus bring you peace. There's an old song, if you've been around the church world, and the line goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it for you, which you could be very thankful for. But it says this, trust and obey, for there's no other way. If you want to know the secret to getting rid of stress and fear and worry in your life, trust and obey, for there's no other way. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. In fact, I believe that Jesus wants to set you free from that prison today.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.